It is a fact. Most home burglaries start with a ring of your doorbell to make sure you're not home. Alarm systems tell you after someone breaks in, but Ring Video Doorbell can prevent a burglary before it happens. Ring lets you see and speak with whoever's at your home from anywhere using your smartphone. With Ring, you're always home. Ring takes just 5 minutes to install, and for under $200, it's the easiest, most cost-effective way to protect and monitor your home. Go to ring.com/WSJ for free expedited FedEx shipping. That's ring.com/WSJ.
Hello, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. From New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. The IPO market sees a rough January, in fact, the worst month since September 2011. The Money Beat crew takes a look at what happened and what's next for the IPO market coming up.
From Wall Street to Main Street to your street, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. Money news that helps your bottom line.
Welcome to the Money Beat Podcast. I am Paul Vigna here with a packed house today. And look, we're going to get right to it because Corey's got somewhere to go at 2:45. She's got a big interview, so we only have her for a few minutes. Corey, the IPO market stunk on ice in January.
It was not a good one.
It was not a good one.
No. Zero IPOs, so worst since September 2011 when we were in the Eurozone crisis and we'd just gotten our debt downgraded.
Yeah. And this comes on the back of last year, 2015, which in itself was not a particularly good year for IPOs,
yeah,
right?
the second half in particular in 2015 was not good. Starting in August with all the market volatility, we just never saw. Usually you see a lot of activity in September, and instead a lot of big names like Neiman Marcus and Albertsons, they actually withdrew or postponed their IPO, citing the market conditions.
Citing the market conditions. Okay, so why is it happening? That's probably the first question. All right, let's go through, why is this happening?
Yeah, so, I mean, any time that the market is choppy and you're having 2% swings on any given
day. On an almost daily basis.
You don't want to be on the road talking to investors and convincing them this is the new stock to own. Forget about what you currently own in your portfolio. You should pour more money into a new company that's untested in the public markets. So that's part of it for sure.
How much was this also just a carryover from last year? Because last year was not a great year for IPOs, especially for tech IPOs. Was this just sort of, companies weren't looking at the capital markets, and then we ran into this storm in January?
Yeah, there are a lot of companies that are, quote-unquote, kind of like on the back burner, ready to go if things improve. A lot of people had hoped, a lot of bankers had hoped that this year would be an improvement and that they could get deals done. One thing that my story talks about is biotech in particular. Every year you have the J.P. Morgan Healthcare Conference about the second week in January, and that usually drums up a lot of activity in the IPO market. And that was particularly disappointing from folks I talked to that we saw none of that.
Who does this – and I should have mentioned at the top, this is your Breast of the Market piece that you wrote, which is, everyone should go and look it up. Who does this hurt more? Does it hurt the companies? Does it hurt the banks? Is it a real significant thing? I mean, everyone gets all juiced up about IPOs.
Yeah.
Is it hype? Does it matter? Does it say something about the economy? I mean, where's the hammer fall the hardest on this?
Well, it definitely hurts the companies if they really need the money. And that was another reason I was looking at IPOs or biotech, because these are guys that that burn through so many millions of dollars as they try to bring companies or try to bring drugs to the market. They need that money. Also for tech companies that have been doing private rounds of financing, we've seen those have some issues lately, also seen some cracks. So if they can't raise money in the private markets, they're going to have to come to public soon. And if we have a persistent period of closed window, that's not good. And I think that just in general, traders that I talk to and strategists and portfolio managers, they just view the IPO market as kind of a bellwether. If it's going well, they think, okay, the economy is doing better, we should feel positive about stocks. So it just is kind of that for the tone.
Right. It's got some psychological effect. Right.
How much also was this related just to the amount of money that you're now able to raise privately? I mean, we have more unicorns than we, which are the $1 billion valuation.
Yeah, they're not even unicorns anymore. You got to come up with a new mythical beast.
They're pretty common at this point. How much of that plays a role in why we're not seeing, companies, don't seem to need the public markets as much as they once did.
Yeah, and I think that does for certain segments of the market, like as you mentioned in tech, but we're not seeing that in all aspects,
right.
In all sectors. But even for tech, I mean, we used to see that they could get those valuations a lot more when more money was around, but especially as we're seeing some volatility and just people don't have as much cash necessarily. We're seeing a lot of money get pulled from funds. That's never a good thing.
Go ahead, Murray.
I was going to say, it's going to be a real, sort of alluded to this, Corey, but sort of like a come to Jesus moment for these private valuations, these unicorns.
Yeah.
I mean, as we're seeing it, the fundraising potentially get much tougher in the late stage private rounds, it's going to be interesting to see who comes to market now. If the IPO market keeps up like that, like what are the quality of the companies going to be like? Are they going to be down rounds? Is it going to raise a very small amount?
And the caveat that always is said, that the quote-unquote high-quality companies, if like an Uber were to come public tomorrow, it could still get its IPO done.
You think?
I mean, that's the theory that those, maybe not at the price it wants, but it could still get done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, given its private fundraising, I mean, it is a rich valuation.
Yeah, so not...
I mean, it could run into a lot of the sort of same problems that Facebook... ran into in terms of it's a huge.
Yeah, no, of course. And that, but just in terms of getting done.
Right. There will be demand for it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. Now, you look at the performance in the stock market, and everyone talks about how January's performance sort of sets the tone for the rest of the year and what it augurs for. Are people worried about this? Are they, the fact that there were no IPOs in January, does that say something? It says something about the market, but I mean, what exactly does it say, and what are people thinking about for the rest of the year?
I mean, I think it's too early to tell the entire rest of the year. I don't think people are excited by January.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a couple IPOs that are coming up that are on the deck for February, and I think if we see some stabilization in stocks also, and if those couple IPOs in biotech, as it happens to be, they go well, I think people will get a lot more excited. And bankers always want to say things are going to go great.
Right, of course, yeah. All right, that wraps up the Your Money Matters edition of Money Beat. You can check the full podcast out at wsj.com/podcast.